So a lot of people in this town are asking, could Charlena Lyles still be alive today if police had not gone to her apartment alone? Well, in Tacoma, an officer can call for help dealing with someone who might be mentally ill. They can call a mental health co-responder. And now this co-responder program might go statewide. So let's learn about it with Tacoma Patrol Officer John Hill and a mental health co-responder who works with officers, Ryan Miles. Welcome to both of you.
Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Officer Hill, you're in Tacoma. You cannot speak to what happened with Charlena Lyles in Seattle. But is that a kind of case where you're coming to the home of someone who's been referred to mental health treatment? Is that the kind of case where you would call a mental health co-responder to be with you?
Specifically to mental health, for sure. If we show up on scene, we want to make sure the scene is safe before we would call them and allow them to do their job. So it's specific case-to-case basis.
Ryan, what happens when you and an officer like John team up on a call? How's that go?
It's pretty interesting and good. It's the officers tend to have a good rapport with individuals when we arrive. You know, people tend to respect law enforcement, and we're able to provide a different angle of approach to help build rapport, and then also give that resource connection in terms of what services they might need.
A different approach, how?
Just in the sense that, you know, I know what's available and what they might need in terms of treatment.
What would be an example of that for us?
So, like, we have a facility called RRC that we have access to in Tacoma, and it's a facility that is a little bit more open and friendly than, like, an inpatient facility. So someone who's had a history of being detained or at an inpatient facility might have a lot of hesitance with wanting to go back into the mental health system. So I can help kind of guide them and say, well, we have this other resource that's a little bit more open, a little bit more friendly into maybe what you've had before, and just try and kind of build that relationship to make them feel comfortable with whatever we're trying to get done that day.
Officer, when would you call somebody like Ryan and why?
Well, sometimes we've actually become partners, per se, on Tuesdays. He'll ride with me, and so he'll go to my calls that I typically deal with that might not be deal with mental health, and he'll either stay in the car, like, such as like a ride-along was to do. However, if I do show up on a mental health, someone suffering from mental illness, he'll be there, and he'll step in. And, I mean, he's a professional. I've only had 40 hours of mental health,
training.
I've got 9 years experience, which has also helped me considerably, but he would be there, and if he was there, he would kind of step in. And
how so? How might that go?
You know, obviously, like I said, we'll make sure the scene is safe, and instead of myself, you know, in uniform, maybe be a little intimidating, he can break down that barrier and talk to him. I can step
in. Why, what would you be wearing, Ryan?
I do wear a vest. I don't have a belt on with any additional equipment, so it is a little more intimidating than maybe a typical crisis worker, but we do have patches that identify us as mental health workers, and that does give us a little bit more leeway in terms of them being less intimidated by us.
Because you look like an officer to me, to the untrained eye. Like, you look very official, and do you carry a gun?
I do not, no.
Wow, you don't know what you're about to encounter. I know Officer Hill said you're going to make sure it's safe first, but geez, how do
we
you know that?
We put a lot of trust in the officers that we're coming into a scene. Okay.
Yeah. But that sounds dangerous to me, to show up unarmed. I mean, it's dangerous enough to be armed.
Right.
But right. What's
right.
it like for you?
You know, initially, it was a little daunting, I'll say. We do have a vest that gives a little bit of a sense of security in case something were to happen.
A bulletproof vest.
Yes. Yeah. But having been working with the officers, experienced with, you know, going on many calls prior to even knowing that we existed, I feel very comfortable when they call us out on scene.
And officer, how does it go differently? What does Ryan add to a situation involving someone who's maybe mentally ill?
Sure.
How does he change your job?
Well, he's got a considerable extra amount of resources that he can at his disposal. He's got phone numbers and relationships with people in the medical field that we don't. We're kind of just first line. So if I was to go to the hospital, I show up in the ER versus he could potentially call the individual's caseworker, or he could call a boss or the person's counselor or something like that.
You can't do that? You don't have access to those kind of records as a police officer?
No, it's all HIPAA restricted.
Yeah, HIPAA is the Privacy Act.
Exactly. So he's able to, because he's part of the medical field, he's able to get into that and really account for the subject's history, their mental health history. If it's not written by a police officer, I can't read it.
How about the interpersonal dealing with this human being who you're showing up to deal with in some way? I'll ask Ryan too, but I want to ask you as a police officer, how do you do your job any differently because of this program that might go statewide? You're working with a mental health co-responder. In that moment, give us an example of how that can go now.
Right, regarding like myself showing up without him versus with him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, how would he, that's right. I'm imagining you at somebody's doorstep, you know, or so they've opened their door and you're dealing with them, but they might have mental health real troubles. Mm-hmm. And how does working with someone like Ryan change how you deal with that person?
Ryan's able to pinpoint their condition a lot easier than I do. Like I said, I have 40 hours of CIT training. Crisis intervention training. Yes, exactly. It could go as far as medications. I'm not a professional when it comes to medications, let alone being able to read the names of them. He knows what their use is. So if he asks them, hey, what type of medication are you using? The subject was to provide that. Ryan could tell, okay, he's being treated for this, this, and this, which is incredibly beneficial. Are you on your medication? No. Okay, well, then maybe that's why we're acting the way we're acting today. And he could provide a better resource than myself saying, I really don't know what your typical baseline is. You're acting this way, I only can take you to the hospital to provide help, and they're incredibly busy themselves, or I can take you to what we call, he said earlier, recovery response center. And that's really our two little lifelines that we can provide for that individual. Ryan can go back and he can actually come up with a considerably better resolution for that subject.
Ryan, how do you deal with somebody so you've shown up now, it's been considered safe. Mm-hmm. So now you're on the scene with this officer. It could be a really scary situation, a tense situation. I don't know. This person's, you can tell they've got some kind of mental issues on board. How are you helping in that moment?
Well, I think I don't want to take anything away from the officers. I've been more than impressed on numerous occasions with how they deal with individuals, even those that are having a very serious situation with a mental illness. I think the benefit when I'm on scene is that I can provide a different approach to interacting with the individual, different cadence, a different style that maybe the officer is using that the individual will respond better to.
What do you mean? Well, how would it be a different style? Give me an example.
So maybe, because when officers are on scene, sometimes they're directive, right? They have to make sure the scene is safe. They want you to do X, Y, Z. And my approach from being a crisis mental health worker is much more, how can we help you today? How do you want this to be resolved today? And just take a different approach that sometimes the individual responds better to.
I'm guessing you hate the cliche, good cop, bad cop, but I am thinking of,
sometimes, it's a powerful tool sometimes.
It's about, yes, talk about that.
It's just some individuals, I can't speak to a specific situation, I guess, which would help, but some people benefit from that, here's what's going on today. This is one option that can happen, or let's talk about some other options that are going to benefit you better in the long run.
Are you in that position, Officer Hill, of kind of being, because I've talked to officers before who, for example, they'll say, yeah, this is in our training, is the first thing is put the weapon down or whatever it is. It's like directive was the polite word that Ryan used, but sometimes you're trying to establish sort of authority here, right? And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are you in that position of you and Ryan kind of being the two different personalities on the scene?
I think Ryan and I mesh pretty well as far as that goes. I guess a benefit of having Ryan overall has allowed me to kind of maybe change my police approach.
Really?
To mental illness. Watching him work has made me a different officer, so I take more time with the individual, try to establish better rapport, get a common ground with that individual. It's helped me just become a more well-rounded officer. And I've seen it work, so I know it does. I mean, just for example, something I've learned is if that subject that's suffering from mental illness has an imaginary friend, okay, let's say that it does happen, okay, he's seeing someone that's not there. Instead of just dismissing that completely, and which other people have probably been doing, that's given him more of a heartache, why don't we just include him? What's it hurting? You know, if his friend, his name is Fred, hey, let's include Fred in this conversation. And it's allowed you to just really create a common ground with that guy, and he's trusting you. Hey, I see Fred. Okay, hey, is Fred doing all right? Can we get yourself and Fred help today? Can we take you to get some food or shelter or the hospital or something like that? And it's really allowed them to, I guess, you know, be able to trust us more.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you, Ryan, people like you have kind of changed the police culture.
Yeah.
You know, we hear this phrase, a warrior culture. Is there room for that to change? And as a mental health co-responder, changing that dynamic?
I think it's changing to what they call the guardian now.
Mm-hmm. Does it matter that both of you guys are white men? Does that matter? Does that come up in your training? Does that change anything?
I think to a degree it could maybe benefit. I think at the end of the day, though, with my contacts, I don't think it impacts it that much. I see people of all types and flavors. And when you can get down to their level and get common ground, like John said, you can have a real conversation with someone regardless of that. I think it hasn't been an issue for us. There are situations, though, like my partner's a female, the other co-responder, and there are situations where an individual might respond better to a female than a male.
Do you ever come in conflict? You know, you've got two different approaches and really two different jobs that you're trying to do in that moment. Does that ever conflict?
A police officer? Not everything works.
Yeah, how so?
Not everything works. I mean, it might not be working for that person that day, okay? Everything I can help and try to provide just might not be enough. But at the end of the day, we try to create a positive contact at most. So if we do come in contact with that subject again, which we might, highly likely, that it was a positive contact and that we can, you know, build on that.
You know, you say it's highly likely you're going to contact that person again, which makes me think of how many times one person can interact with the mental health system. And I mean, in the case of in Seattle, Charlena Lyles had gone to mental health treatment, and if it helped, we sure can't tell. So if your goal is to keep people out of jail, is diversion, as they say, but, you know, but then what? Now they're in the system, and then what, Ryan?
Well, I think we're a part of that too, because when we're having repeated contact, we're maybe encouraging them to continue services, or we're encouraging them to go to their appointment that day, or whatever the case is. We're helping to, you know, you don't want to see us every day, so how can we get you, you know, back on the right track?
But how confident do you feel walking away that this person's going to be taken care of, get some help?
That's a case by case answer. I think more often than not, I feel pretty confident with the resolution we come up with. But at the end of the day, it's really up to the individual more than not if they're going to partake in services that are available.
Well, because we're talking about the state legislature could take this. You're in Tacoma. Mm-hmm. We could take this program statewide. Any concerns about that? Any advice to make this work statewide?
I think one of my concerns is and we kind of do it already, but every county doing it a little differently and not a lot of collaboration between counties. And I think that's been a big hurdle and problem in the mental health system in general. And if we just do it again with another new system, it may not be the best.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's our time for today. As I said, we're talking with John Hill, a patrol officer with Tacoma Police Department, Ryan Miles, a designated mental health professional who works with John and other Tacoma police officers as a mental health co-responder. And this is in Tacoma. We're talking about possibly taking this program statewide. So thanks for coming in and talking to us about, in a way, it sounds like a common sense partnership, you know, police officer, mental health professional. But it hasn't always happened that way, and maybe it'll happen more. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.